I'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and so we're going to look briefly this morning at verses 33 to 40, Psalm 119, verse 33. Again, let us be attentive to the reading of the Word of God. Teach me, O Lord, the way of my statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word again this morning. We know that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It's full of the word of God. It's an alphabetical psalm. So every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a stanza for that particular letter. Each of those stanzas are divided into eight verses, and they speak of a good way. In a sense, this is an embellishment, a commentary, an explanation of Psalm 1 and 2. Of the godly man and those who seek to overthrow the kingdom of God. What a vain thing. It speaks on this psalm of the man who is blessed. Blessed are the undefiled. That's verse 1. It speaks of blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. So right at the beginning of this book here, he's talking of blessed people. Men and women, boys and girls. And they are blessed because they walk in the way. That's the way that God has set. And they're blessed because they keep his testimonies. They keep his statutes, they keep his commandments, precepts, etc. Judgments. Now these words, judgments, commandments, precepts, etc., we can really compact into one word, the word of God. So he's laying out for us how to be blessed. Particularly in verse 9. When you're young. Now, some of you have been brought up from the cradle to this point where the word of God was taught to you by your family. What a blessing. This is what David is talking of here. I say David because that's my conviction. It's David who wrote this psalm. And verse 9 says, wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? Or a young person. The best time is to teach our children when they're young the word of God. And it will be a blessing to them. It will be a help and a comfort for all the trials and tribulations that this old world and the flesh and the devil will throw at us. So here we are, you know, we haven't got children. We've got grandchildren. So when they come to visit, are we teaching them? Are we sharing the word of God with them? This is a challenge for us, a challenge for me. So we must teach the young the way of the Lord, that they may have a clean way of living. We live in a world where it's unrighteous. I don't need to explain it to you. It out there is filthy. It's absolute defilement, particularly of young hearts and minds who are being taught gross and immoral things. And it should break our hearts. It should cause us to weep of the immorality of our nation, the things that are being taught in our schools and in the media. There's this constant barrage upon righteousness and holiness and cleanliness. We live in a desperate world. And just a word of introduction. Verse 11. I said this before. How are we to keep our way clean? Thy word have I hid in my heart. The best thing, the word of God, hidden where? In my heart, the best place. And the best reason, that I may not sin against thee, my God. What motivation do we need from that? The best thing, the word of God. Do you count the word of God as the best thing? Or is it those nice ornaments in your cabinet? Your little treasures stashed away, maybe in your safe, your jewelry. For David here, for the psalmist and for the people of God, the best thing is the word of God. There's nothing better in this world. Everything else is rubbish in comparison. In our hands, in your hands this morning, while on your phone, your tablet or in paper, it's the best thing that a man or woman can have possession of. Because it's the word of life. It's the word of God. It's the truth. And David here, he has a heart for the word of God. He speaks in verse 40. He's making a conscious decision on the way he's going to walk. Verse 30. I have chosen. These are powerful verbs, these are. I have chosen the way of truth. It's a deliberate choice. I have chosen. What have I chosen? The way of truth. The way that God has set forth in his commandments. He says here, the way of truth, my judgments have I laid before me. Not only has he chosen, but he's stuck. Verse 31. I have stuck. That is the word bonded, cleaved, as you would if you are protesting. You glue your hand to the road and they can't move you. They've got to get solvent to get your hand off the road. That's the sense here. I have stuck. The word of God is bonded to him. I have stuck unto my testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Then the third powerful verb in verse 32, I will run, showing us that he has intent. He's not weary, he's determined. I will run the way of my commandments. Notice here that he doesn't have a problem with law and grace. He's talking of the commandments, we read those this morning. Plus there are other commandments we know in the Old Testament. He's not an antinomian. He's a man who loves God's word. He loves the law. He sees the relevance of it, the importance of it. And he's going to run in the way of God's commandments. What is a challenge, isn't there? The word of God is a challenge to us. Have you chosen? Are you sticking to God's word? David has an open heart. He's a man of like passion as you and I. And he wants God to teach him. Verse 33 in our section this morning. Teach me. Teach me. And this is the third time he requests this. David has a teachable spirit. He hasn't arrived of all knowledge. He knows there are other things which he needs to understand. And he knows how inferior his mind is. It needs to be taught. And we need to be taught as well. So when we come to private devotions, are we praying that prayer? Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach me a teachable spirit. Many young people particularly, and I dare say older people, they're unteachable. And you give them a piece of advice, oh, I know better because I'm young. And they crash and burn, don't they? You've done that. I've done that. and even older people, we still need to be taught. We need to have that humble spirit. And he said, teach me, O Lord, the way of my statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. I like that piece because he's determined to run to the end. I've chosen the way of truth. I've stuck unto thy testimonies. Teach me so I may persevere. I may keep on unto the end. The end of his pilgrimage. The end of his journey. The end of his life. I don't know where the end is for each and every one of us. But it will be an end. And God is saying to us, is this your prayer? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. He's not relying on his own strength, his own vigour, and his own intelligence. He's relying upon his God. He's relying upon the Spirit of God to persevere to the end. How many Christians do we know who've started so well? I can think of half a dozen just standing here. They've had good teaching, good instruction. They've been attentive to the Word of God. They've been consistent in their attendance to the means of grace. And yet something happens. Some event, some illness, some disaster. I can think of one friend of mine particularly. She was a member of a church we were at some years ago, and the pastor made some romantic advances toward her. But Christian life fell down flat. Something really upset her. We can understand that, can't we? But where was that determination? And Satan will use any means to weaken our determination. An illness. Why has God allowed that to me or to my loved one or to a family member? A child taken away in death. Why? And those things can throw us unless we have this determination. I have chosen, I have stuck, and I will run and teach me unto the end. Now, I'm very conscious that I'm a man of the flesh and I can easily slip. So we pray for one another that God would keep us faithful to his word and to the truth. Teach me. Teach me. Not only in this section here, there's a lot of requests that David brings to the Lord. Teach me is the first request. The second one is verse 34. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. He wants the word of God. But not does he want it, he wants to understand it. In understanding, be men. It was a book many years ago. Give me understanding. He's asking his God to give him understanding of things he doesn't understand. And he's looking for God's aid. He's looking for God's assistance. Give me understanding. There are many things we don't understand. And as we come to the Word of God, again it's that prayer, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. There's a lot of I's in this psalm, and a lot of you's. He speaks of himself as the I, and you as the Lord. I shall observe it. What's he going to observe? God's law. That's his desire, that's his determination, that's his choice. I shall observe it. And how can he observe it if he doesn't understand it? Hence that prayer. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Wholeheartedness. He is a man who's eager to do God's will. Look at verse 25. Make me to go in a path of thy commandments. We live in a day where people say, You don't need to keep the commandments of God anymore. Oh, yes, you do. If you think you don't need to keep the commandments, you are destined for trouble and disaster and shipwreck, and hence the state of our nation and the state of the world. Because we do not keep God's commandments. If we didn't covet our neighbour's wife, there'd be no adultery, no broken marriages, murder and theft, covetousness. I see this, I want it, I can't afford it, I'll steal it. People run into supermarkets, grabbing stuff and running out. This is the day in which we live in. It's chaos. Because we are not adhering to the word of God. God's commandments are not grievous, are they? They're good for our soul. They're good for our society. Good for life. So David prays, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Do you delight in God's commandments? Are these your delights? They were to David. Being a king, he was instructed to meditate. He was instructed to handwrite the law of God in his own pen. And as he did that, I'm sure the word of God burnt into his soul. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. David is eager. He's eager to do God's will. How eager are you this morning? How eager am I to do the will of God? Because the flesh will draw us away. The flesh will say, you don't need to be that eager. You don't need to be that zealous. You know, just a little bit's good enough, surely. But no, it's wholeheartedness. It's consistent. He's working out his own salvation with fear and trembling. He's an eager brother. He's aware that godly people can lose heart. You can grow weary in well-doing. We can drag our feet and we are prone to wander. Is that your testimony? It's mine. Weary. Sometimes on a Thursday evening at a prayer meeting, I think, oh, the fire's going, it's nice and cosy here. And I'll get outside, get in that car, go down the church, it'll be freezing cold down there. You get weary, don't we? I'd rather be by the fire than with the people of God. Shame upon us. Shame upon me. And we've chosen, you see. We've got another choice. This is the choice we've made. We've covenanted with the people of God. To be with the people of God at the appointed times. And yes, we grow weary. And we can lose heart. Beware, Christian, of being too despondent about the state of a church. God is building his church. And we need to raise our eyes above the situation. Not to stick our head in the sand thinking all will be well. But God has promised. And David warns us of being weary and tired. Remember those vows we have made unto the Lord. He's aware of temptation to be attracted by worthless things. Verse 36, he says, incline my heart, draw my heart, may my inclination be to thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Covetousness. We can translate that word into idols, worthless things, things of no worth, things which are worthless. Now we don't live in a society full of idols, do we? But what about worthless things we want, attracted by? A bigger house, better car, better clothes, better shoes. better pair of glasses, better jewellery, worthless things, worthless conduct, worthless speech, worthless actions. Dare I say, even false prophecy within the church. So this word here is related to idolatry, covetousness. And the apostle tells us in Colossians 3:5 that we are to avoid such covetousness, for it is idolatry. We are to avoid it. We are to put it to death. Covetousness is idolatry. Consumerism thrives in our nation. It thrives in the human heart. I need to be very conscious of it. I know this is one of my sins. I can get obsessed with things. I like cameras. I like nice cameras. I like cameras which do nice things, and I like to play with photos on the computer. I know it's a covetous desire I have, and I need to stamp it on it. Sometimes you need to cut things out of your life. So I cut things out of my life. But then something else takes its place. Do you know that? They're legitimate things. They're not hurtful, they're not immoral. But they draw me away. We need to know ourselves. We need to know ourselves. And my wife would tell you, I've had a series of different interests, which I throw myself into 110%, and after a few years, they fade away. And the next beast comes up. We've got to discipline ourselves. We don't like to do that. But we need to know ourselves. We need to know. Must it be conformed to the image of this world? We're different, aren't we? And this is what he prays for here. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me in thy way. Turn away my eyes from those things which I long for and desire, and which will not satisfy me. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, empty things. Which then suggests to us verse 18 again. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, Satan can tempt us, particularly with the eye. Eve was in the garden. She saw the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she took it. And she ate her eyes. Satan said, oh, no, it's okay, you won't die. The eyes. So much sin comes in through the eye gate. We need to guard our eyes. Eve. Aching. He found himself some gold and a goodly Babylonian garment. With his eyes, and he desired it. And the consequence was the children of Israel lost the battle. And that sin had to be purged through the eye gate. And as you go through your Bibles, you'll find many, many sins. David and Bathsheba, he saw her bathing, eye gate. He should have turned his back and walked away. So the word of God is for us today, it's relevant. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need God's help, friends, to have our eyes drawn away from vanities. And we need our hearts to be inclined to God. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. David continues with his advice. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. He has a fear of his God. Now, this is not popular thinking today. You know, God is Father. God is my mate. God, you know, can look after me. You know, we're pals, etc. But no, there's a holy fear in this man's heart. And establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. He approaches God with reverence and with sincerity. He approaches his God as God. And he says, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for my judgments are good. David has a longing that God would teach him, that God would give him understanding, that God would guide and guard his eyes, that God would establish his word unto his servant David, that God would turn away my reproach. That is referring to those who seek to undermine him, those princes who did seek to bring David down. He says there in verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt. This is how people held David. And he's asking God to remove, to turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. So he's seeking the Lord to incline his heart. That's a prayer we should be praying constantly, that God would incline our hearts. And he knows the weakness of his flesh. He knows he needs something more than what he's got. And so twice he prays, quicken me. Verse 27, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And then he goes on in verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And he praises several times in this psalm. Go home and read it. What's he praying for? He's praying that God would revive him, that God would enliven him, that God would give him that desire for God and for his glory. And he says that, verse 40, behold. I like the beholds in the Bible. Behold, this is me. He's not drawing attention to himself. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. He knows there is more to be had of God. He knows there are deeper experiences to be enjoyed of God. He's not content with the shallows. He wants to go deeper into the heart and mind and spirit of God. So he prays, quicken me. Quicken me. The need of the day. The need of the hour. There's a prayer meeting here on Friday for revival. Are you going to be here? Quicken me. Revive me. Renew me. Strengthen me. Give me godly desires, holy desires. Give me a longing. Give me a longing for your precepts. Give me a longing for your word. David has no wish for a divided heart. He wants to be wholehearted for his God. Behold, I have longed. I can't really express that to you. It's a debt to. I have longed. Maybe, you know, family been away at war. And you long to see him. You long to see him come home. There's this longing. That's what David desires. Not half-hearted. Not half-hearted devotion to God. Not half-hearted devotion to his word. So he renews that plea to be revived on the strength of his trust in God, who is righteous and will act according to his character. Some of us have been praying for revival for many, many years. I remember when I was first converted, I listened to a series of tapes by Dr. Lloyd-Jones. I can remember listening to those tapes, think what wonderful days they would be. Hasn't come yet, has it? But we still press on, we still pray that God would revive. But I think revival is going to start in here with me. More passion, more fervency, more commitment to the Word of God, to my Saviour, and to his church. But alas, we don't like commitment, do we? Who wants commitment? We live in a generation. We are conformed to the world. The world doesn't like commitment. You can't get people to stand on a committee for the WI or for the bowling club or any other society. We are conformed. We are exactly as the world. Where is our commitment? I challenge you, where's your commitment to Market Street? There are works to be done here. There's jobs to be done here. You see me mucking about with this morning. Now, if someone could step up and say, I'll do that, not just for this Sunday, but for every Sunday. It's a commitment. It means getting down, looking at the hymns, downloading to your phone or to your iPad or whatever, and playing it through speakers. To enhance your worship. Commitment. Just one simple practical point. Because without the music, our worship is dire. Yeah? Let's be honest, it's dire. But if someone was to come up, step up to the plate and say, I will do that. That's a ministry I could do for Market Street. That's what David's talking of here. Committed Christians. Not half-hearted. Maybe I've said too much. Maybe I've been too strong. But I feel that's what the Word of God would have us. Teach me the way of thy statutes. Give me understanding. Make me go in the path. Incline my heart and turn away my eyes from vanity. Establish thy word in my heart. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for when judgments are good, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Well, friends, this is God's word. This is God's word to me and to you. Pray it be a blessing to us. And we would examine our own hearts and minds and our own lives and sort out the dross, that we may live more to the praise of our God. Amen.